T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, so this is how it's going to be, huh? This is how it's going to be. I'm going to put out something that comes out from our mentions, and I'm going to get summarily berated by everybody from the upstate to the Midlands to the low country. I am getting it from everywhere here today. And I'm here to tell you, number one, yours truly, Willie P., that I am like Tom Petty, I don't back down. I put out something on our Twitter poll on Monday. And let's be real. I know Twitter is not scientific. I know it's not something to be taken as gospel. This is, after all, an entertainment medium. This is a passion medium, as our boss likes to tell us all the time. This is a medium that basically exists for you to escape from your life and either be entertained, captivated, and or otherwise affected. I have neither the time nor the inclination nor the compensation level currently, as my part-time status has here, to sit here all night and hear your belly aching and your misogynistic stupidity right now. Because quite honestly, all y'all need to chill when it comes to the Clemson fans. Now, I will say, I probably took a very limited cross-section of the Clemson fan base and impugned the entirety of the Clemson fan base for saying that they did not and would not take responsibility for their football team's lack of preparation to face North Carolina on Saturday. I'll admit that. But to say, oh, you're not talking to the right Clemson fans, or you're not doing this, I can only talk to who's interacting with me either directly on here on the phone lines or here on the Twitter and all that other stuff. I don't come across Clemson fans in my daily life. This is my daily life. I come here. I make a 90-minute drive from my apartment in Columbia to here in Greenville, and I go home and I go to sleep. I don't see Clemson fans. I don't interact with Clemson fans. I don't see Gamecock fans or interact with Gamecock fans. I am literally spending most of my time in my car or my bed right now. So don't sit here and tell me I'm not interacting with Clemson fans. All I can literally sit here and say is what I see on our data. And I use the data that we have available to us via the mentions we had on ESPN Upstate and people telling us, hey, you know what? Nothing's wrong here. 20 wins, this and that, here and there. Well, you know what? I'm not angry at you, Clemson fan. I'm not angry at you at all. My issue rest solely with the system. The system is the problem, guys. My system, when it comes to checking out where the college football world sits, would be a much less subjective system than the one we have now. And that is my biggest problem right now with regards to where Clemson sits in college football's echelon. Nick Saban of the Alabama Crimson Tide spoke to the media, it was either yesterday or earlier today, he spoke about the ever-changing landscape with the college football world and the fact that his team, while getting a win, and Clemson's team getting a win, switched places in this week's ranking. Normally this is the kind of thing that Nick Saban calls rat poison. Well, he understands that this game has a more subjective nature outwardly than, say, the NFL game does.
Talk about it just about every day. You know, you kind of, you know, ignore, you know, some of those things because I think humility is very important to paying attention to detail and doing things the right way. I don't think it really matters at all where you're ranked or rated right now. It only matters when it's January, when the season's over. That's all that matters. And it can slip away very, very quickly. And as it did this last week, it wasn't even because the team didn't win. It must have been somebody's perception of how they played. All right, so it's not even about winning. It's about how you play. And I think every player creates value by being his best every time he gets the opportunity to compete. The scoreboard shouldn't matter. Who you're playing shouldn't matter. And where you're ranked shouldn't matter. And what somebody says on the internet shouldn't matter. So you should be playing because you want to get the self-satisfaction that you know you did your best to be the best you could be. And hopefully that's what we can get our players to focus on. Sometimes we succeeded at that, and sometimes we haven't.
And I don't disagree with anything that Nick Saban just said. But unfortunately, that is not the reality of which we live in. We live in a subjective world when it comes to the world of college football. I know people who have been on the college football playoff committee. People who I've talked to personally, not just, hi, how are you doing on the phone? People who I've sat with and talked with personally, who I consider friends. People who I know who've gone through the mock exercise that involves the college football playoff committee. They've done it multiple years. They all tell me it's not enough to win. When it comes down to it, every single hair on your scalp as a college football team is examined and re-examined. And when this game goes in front of the college football playoff committee, it will be scrutinized to the nth degree. I'm not saying I like it, folks. I'm not saying that it's something that's fair. I'm just telling you that's the way it is, like Walter Cronkite would say. My issue is not with you, my issue is with the system.
I'm going to talk to the judge about a writ of habeas corpus. I'll put the system on trial.
Thank you, Jim Carrey and Cable Guy. So that's my issue with everybody. Don't come crying to me, because I've been talking about this for as long as I've been on the air here. And again, I know that I haven't been on the air, particularly at this particular space, for more than a couple of months. And for those of you who claim that you don't hear me or you don't know who the hell I am, you're full of it, okay? And for the guy who just tweeted me and said, who the heck cares? Go pound salt, dude. I ain't going anywhere. I'm here until they tell me I'm not. And guess what? The people who are in charge of this here radio station are pretty damn happy with what I've brought to the table. So don't come to me and say, Will, you're irrelevant, and Will, nobody cares about what the heck you have to say.
That's such a cop-out take. Oh, who cares? Oh, yeah. Who cares?
I just showed
you because I said, who cares?
Guy still follows me, by the way. So, like, you know what? I don't have time for you. I don't need you. I ain't going anywhere. Don't try to make me an enemy of the people. Don't try to tell Taj Boyd that I'm an enemy of Clemson or that I'm not a friend of Clemson. That's bullcrap. I am an enemy of the system. I'm an enemy of what happens in college football as a result of the subjective nature of things. Would I like there to be a less subjective nature of college football? Absolutely. I have told this to both athletic directors in this state of the big schools. I want scheduling that mirrors the National Football League. I want everything basically in the Power Five to be separate from your group of five. Sorry, Diesel. But I would like to see something that at least gives us more of an objective look at how we determine a champion. But the problem is the people who are in charge of college football love the chatter.
Yeah, you know, we had objectivity.
Yes.
It's called the BCS.
Yes.
And the computers calculated, did its thing, and spit out who the best two teams were.
That was the only problem with the BCS, was it only gave us two teams. The problem wasn't the BCS. The problem was we only had one game. If we still had the BCS and we had a playoff, I'd be more than happy with it. Because the BCS, while it did involve some human polling, for the most part, had computers and objective stats that were basically meant to not show any bias, to not show any calculations outside of who they thought was the best. Empirically. But no. We needed subjectivity. We needed actual human error and human polls to be the end-all, be-all to the college football world.
Yeah, but to be fair, they still run the BCS models, and it, like 85 or 90-something percent of the teams correct. Only like one or two years has it not put somebody in that the computers would have put somebody in that the committee did not. The only difference is the orders, the 1 through 4, and who you would play in your semifinal games.
All I'm saying is this. While I believe that they do use those formulas, when you have the ability with people who sit in there with their own inherent biases, and believe me, I know that they're all sitting there with their particular, when they have to recuse themselves when their school or their conference is talked about, I still don't know if that's enough. That part of it is just something that's not okay to me. I don't like that college football is involved with people choosing its championship that have particular biases. You can talk about it all you want, how it's not a factor, but guess what? They know one of two things. Everybody comes from somewhere, and this is all about television. And the fact of the matter remains is that they're only going to put the games on TV that matter to the college football world as a whole. And that's why if you're not selling the kind of story that's sexy enough for the college football playoff committee, then you're not going to be a part of the party. That is why I was angry about what Clemson did on Saturday. And that is why I wanted their fans to show a little bit of concern. Apparently, a lot of you have talked to me and said that you have, which is totally fine. Totally fine. But anyway, that's just the way it works. 844-GSP, ESPN is the phone number. Text line 71307 is how you get in touch with us. Texas from the 864 goes, you both stink. Ha ha ha, kidding, fellas. I love your unbiased output, or I would do the unthinkable and turn the darn station, keep doing what you do. So there you go. There are at least people who do like us. They like us. They really like us. Sorry, I didn't mean to start today on a bad foot. I have a very, very good mood. Some great personal news happened to someone very, very close to me today, and I'm in a good mood. But I just wanted to get that out of the way so that I stop getting people interrupting me when I'm at trivia night, trying to have a nice night with Mike Yuva and Colin Taylor, trying to do trivia at Village Idiot, and people are blowing me up on Twitter because they don't understand what the heck I'm trying to say. That's all I wanted. That's all I really wanted. We got some Braves baseball today.
I think you need to engage in an exercise called turning your phone off.
Well, that basically was what I ended up doing. We were using our phone, though, for the trivia, though. That was
cheaters.
Actually, we couldn't. We ended up sitting right by the trivia guy. Usually, we try to sit a little far away from the trivia guy so we have somebody with a phone open. Yeah, we cheated. We cheated trivia. But guess what? It's because it's for money. There's, like, gift cards involved. This isn't, like, trivia for the, For the bragging rights. We're talking about actual money here. Yours truly needs some money off of my tab there at the pizza joint. It's actual money.
If only you could sell your name and likeness.
See?
If only there was somebody who wanted to buy your name and likeness.
That's a problem. It's a big problem. It's a big problem, Diesel. 844-GSP, ESPN is the phone number. Text line 71307. That's how you get in touch with us. Braves and Cardinals, game one of the NLDS happening in mere moments. We're going to talk to Tony Gwynn Jr., a Radio.com sports insider on the entirety of the baseball playoffs, including that game coming up. If you missed our interview yesterday with Joe Patrick, we'll give you a full Braves preview with that. Percy Harvin admitted to smoking weed. Big deal, little deal, no deal. Before every NFL game. We'll talk about that, more on the federal legislation of the name, image, and likeness debate, and plenty more Gamecocks and Clemson talk for you as well. Packed Thursday on the program. Willie P. and Diesel, ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It is ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, radio.com app. Willie P and Diesel here with you. We're going to check in with Tony Gwynn Jr. of radio.com sports here in just a second. Recap of what we saw last night. 5-1 win for the Tampa Bay Rays over the Oakland Athletics in the American League wild card. Game lacked the drama that the previous night wild card matchup had, but the Rays get through past the Athletics. Second straight year that the A's have lost in the wild card round, and the Rays now have the opportunity to take on the Astros, who come in basically as the odds on favorite in the American League, and they end up taking, of course, obviously a lot of the clout because of the pitching matchups that they were able to at least get in their favor. Verlander, Cole, and Greinke starting 1-2-3 for Houston. Glasnow, Snell, and Morton for the Rays. It was Morton, of course, who went in the wild card game for Tampa. He gets, again, the start on what would be considered somewhat regular rest in Game 3 of the Division Series. Again, the Braves and the Cardinals going against each other in the National League Division Series. Keuchel and Michaelis in Game 1, Foltynewicz and Flaherty in Game 2, and Adam Wainwright has now been named the starter in Game number 3 against Mike Soroka. It's obviously looking at a much different situation now for the Cardinals that they've had in the past. We were told by Brian Stoll earlier in the week of St. Louis Baseball Weekly, this is more of a mobile team than it is a power team. They do have some pop. Guys like Paul Goldschmidt, Marcell Ozuna have been a big part of what they've done over the course of the last couple of years, but or at least over the course of this year. More of Goldschmidt, obviously, has been a big part of that from that perspective. But, of course, there's certainly a lot that they bring to the table that's much different. And, you know, it's obviously still got some things when it comes to their experience that's certainly there. But, of course, they're dealing, again, with a cast of guys who haven't really been on this level. It's our pleasure now to be joined by Tony Gwynn Jr. of Radio.com Sports, our Radio.com Sports Insider. As always, our insider calls are brought to you by the folks at Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Tony, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
We'll start here with the locals, just because of the Braves and the Cardinals starting here in mere moments. I know the Braves come in as the favorite, but how live of an underdog do you believe the Cardinals are in this series?
I think they're a strong underdog. I fully expect the Braves to win this series, but anytime you're facing a team that got as hot as the Cardinals did at the end of the season, just to get into the playoffs, it can pose a problem at times for teams. But I think the Braves are too strong in this particular series. I'm a little bit, I guess the word would be confused that they go with Michaelis as opposed to Jack Flaherty, who has been the best pitcher in the second half of Major League Baseball. So I think we'll see how Game 1 goes, but I think the Braves win this series.
It's funny, too, Tony, because I look at kind of the Braves situation the same way, too. I'm almost worried that the Braves became too much of a prisoner to the splits, holding off Mike Soroka until Game 3. Yeah. The fact that you're not going to see him in multiple games of this series, if it goes a distance, you only see him in one. How much is this the new age baseball kind of playing in here to what Brian Snitker has decided to do?
A whole lot. I mean, it's not just the Braves. You look over, I mentioned the Cardinals. The Dodgers are doing the same thing, starting Walker Buehler because his splits are better at home than they are on the road. And I think it's just a new wave. And, you know, very few teams, other than maybe the Nationals and the Astros, feel confident enough in their starters where they can roll them out in whatever order and feel pretty good. Everybody else is playing the matchups. They're using the splits. They're using the analytics that to kind of figure out the best way to attack this playoff series. And they're not the only one.
Tony Gwynn Jr. joining us, Radio.com Sports Insider, joining us here on ESPN Upstain. Insider calls is always brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Looking at Atlanta's power structure, Freddie Freeman and Ronald Acuña, of course, have kind of been the guys, the straws who've stirred the drink, even Ozzy Albies to a lesser extent. How are those guys looked at nationally? Because, you know, we obviously know about them here. How much of their particular reputation translates nationally?
It translates very well, I think. We got a chance to see those guys a few different times this year. I personally got to see them last year. This is a talented bunch, man. They, Albies, obviously Acuña Jr. is another guy that is, he's going to be fighting with Soto for MVPs for a long time coming. But I like the veteran presence they have on that point. Doesn't get enough credit for the type of player that he is and how he kind of really kind of is the straw that stirs the drink, so to speak. And having Markakis there is another positive, I think, that's going to really makes the Braves a legitimate threat in the National League, in my opinion.
You know, Tony, we talked about this kind of with the Cardinals earlier in the week. I feel the same way kind of about the Nationals. What kind of advantage does it give a team that they had to play their way in and play their way all the way down to the final weeks of the season, keeping that edge? And what kind of momentum do you think that gives a team like Washington going into a series against a team like the Dodgers?
Well, specifically for their own mindset, they feel like they're going in with some momentum, and I think that's important. They played a terrific game. I absolutely enjoyed. That was the best game I've watched all season long. That Nationals game, and to watch how they went about that last inning, especially once again the veterans were the ones that stepped up in that game prior to Soto coming up and continuing to be the type of player he is. But the Nationals got a legitimate shot. Anytime you have the horses that they have in Corbin, Strasburg, and Scherzer, you feel pretty good. And that offense, as you've seen, can be explosive at any given point. And that makes them dangerous. Now, you're going up against a monster in the Dodgers, a team that is probably the best constructed team other than the Astros in all of baseball with their depth. And you know, the only question mark I have with them is do they trust anybody in that bullpen right now? So it's going to be interesting. I think the Braves, this series, I think will go five, but I think the Dodgers end up winning the series.
What do you think that Dodgers manager Dave Roberts has learned over the last two postseasons, especially in the World Series? It seemed like he was at a disadvantage strategy-wise by the two managers he faced. What was do you think is the biggest lesson learned, and do you think he has learned those lessons?
I think he's definitely learned the lessons. I actually had a chance to talk to him a little bit towards the end of the season, just ask him how he's going to keep, you know, because they were well off going to win the division. They were going to be fighting for that, pretty much holding down that number, that home field advantage in the National League. And his biggest issue was, you know, as you prepare for the playoffs, trying to find enough at-bats for everybody. But the big thing is they have 100% buy-in this year. And as good as they were last year and the year before that, I don't know that they've had 100% buy-in to what they're trying to do. And I think that alone will give him more options as you, you know, get into this playoff series. When you have complete buy-in from the 25 guys you have on the roster, it makes it a little bit easier to make moves free of thought. And I think he'll have that to his disposal. I think they're coming in with a lot of guys who were swinging the bat well going into the playoffs, which I don't know if you could say that last year going into the playoffs.
I don't want to look too far ahead, Tone, to the American League, but I mean, I find it hard to believe that we don't get Astros Yankees in the League Championship Series. How much separation do you think exists between those two teams?
Between the Astros and the Yankees?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I see there being a lot of separation just in the starting pitching alone. I mean, offensively, Astros have a more complete team, I think. But they cancel each other out because of the power that the Yankees possess 1 through 9. But the pitching staff, when you look at it as from a complete entity, I don't think there is a comparison. The Astros have much better starting pitching. I think when you don't have a guy like Betanza coming out of your bullpen, that makes your bullpen less lethal. And, you know, I think for the Yankees, as they've done all year, it's going to take some guys to step up in some big moments and be able to come through, because they're definitely not as strong from a pitching standpoint. I think they pretty much cancel each other out throughout the other phases of the game, but that in particular, I think, gives the Astros the edge.
And it's interesting, as we're talking with Tony Gwynn Jr., Radio.com Sports Baseball Insider, a lot of people have kind of just put the Yankees in Sharpie in that League Championship Series just because of the name and the fact that they've had a bevy of postseason history on their side against Minnesota. But I'm kind of with you. The pitching doesn't necessarily line up against Houston. And quite honestly, I don't know if it matches up well with Minnesota either. Minnesota can mash it, especially in their ballpark. And we even saw those two match up and play some high-scoring games earlier in the season. I'd be worried for the Yankee fans if I was going up against that Twins club.
Yeah, and that's the cool part from a spectating standpoint is, if this series lives up to what these two offenses have done all year long, and we know that their pitching isn't the strong suit of either of these teams, this could be an explosive DS series right here. And although I expect the Yankees to win, you'd have to think if you go on if you have a big time series like that where there's a lot of runs scored, that's only going to put your bullpen and your pitching at even a weaker point going into the next series. So I think if you're the Yankees, you're certainly hoping that it doesn't live up to the hype and that it's a low-scoring affair in this five-game set. But if not, that's just another kind of ding that goes against the Yankees.
That was Radio.com Sports MLB Insider Tony Gwynn Jr. Insider Calls brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Thanks so much, Tony. Appreciate it. We'll do it again soon.
All right, thank you.
That is Tony Gwynn Jr. joining us here on ESPN Upstate here on a playoff Thursday. I wanted to make sure you got him off the air. He literally sounds just like his dad. I swear to you, he sounds literally so much like his dad. You saw his dad play, right? Oh, that guy could hit. People talk about Tony Gwynn the same way people who were like my father's age talk about Ted Williams. Like, I could watch Tony Gwynn hit all day, every day. And literally, he was just boom, 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 boom. I had a Tony Gwynn mitt when I was a kid. Very, 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 very much admired that guy. I didn't ask him about his dad. He doesn't like talking about his dad. Dad passed away very, very tragically again with the throat cancer stuff. Very, very tragic stuff. You have something to want to say?
I was going to say, I had a Ken Griffey Jr. glove.
See, I had Griffey spikes. I had the Griffey spikes.
I always wanted the Griffey swing. Always wanted it. Of course, Ken Griffey Jr.'s swing was just perfect.
Were you left-handed? You can't really.
I was, and then I switched because I broke my arm, and I started hitting one-handed with my left hand as my lead hand.
Yeah.
Because I broke my right arm.
Right.
And I said, and just playing in the yard.
Yeah.
You know, with the plastic bat and the wiffle balls.
Right.
And then my brain just flipped and I couldn't hit left-handed anymore.
You really can't do that swing right-handed. You really can't. The Griffey swing. Although now that's literally what they teach kids to do now with the launch angle stuff.
I remember how many videos there were and, you know, training devices to get that perfect Ken Griffey Jr. swing.
Oh. Little Tommy Mansky video. Big fan. Big fan of the old Tom Mansky videos. Back-to-back-to-back AAU national championship teams. It is ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, Radio.com app. We'll do some more baseball. We had Joe Patrick on, who covers the Braves up close and personal. If you missed his comments yesterday, we'll replay you some of that, including what scares him from a Braves perspective about the St. Louis outfit. That comes your way next on ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to me during the break. I'm going to tell you on the air anyway.
Matt, you're the one who doesn't understand that when I'm wearing big headphones with audio coming directly into my ears, I can't hear you over those things.
See, my
and I'm paying attention to trying to get us back on the air.
I know.
That's my concern.
I understand. Matt Connolly just said he's going to a concert tonight in Greenville at the Well. He says going for the first time since watching Purdue blow a Final Four shot on his phone during a concert in March, and he's not sure he's emotionally ready to walk back into the building. Also, I don't know this guy's name. This is a guy who works for NPR, but he said apparently management at Sports Illustrated just informed its newsroom in meetings that half the staff has been laid off, according to a person present. Oof. That's not good. It's something, if you follow our business, there's been a lot of people who have talking about Sports Illustrated here over the course of the last couple of hours. And
is readership down that much?
Well, the readership is down. They're trying to make cuts because they don't believe that the print version of the deal is profitable anymore. They've cut the issues in half and now almost quarterly. I know a lot of people who used to work there. Ross Dellinger, who we have on periodically, works there now. He left a pretty prominent job at the Advocate in New Orleans to go work for Sports Illustrated. And, man, I hope he's okay. And I hope all those people are okay because, again, there's a lot of good journalists who work there and still work there. And unfortunately, they're going to have really bad Thursdays. And it's just, again, terrible thing about this business is that people can't seem to figure out how to make money. I don't understand it personally, but it is what it is. We were talking earlier about the Braves with Joe Patrick. Of course, he covers the Braves for our sister station, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. One of the unfortunate casualties of the Braves playoff roster construction was that of Julio Teheran, a guy who ironically was on the opening day roster as the opening day starter. The Braves, if you remember, had a couple of injuries and had to go with a makeshift rotation to begin the year. And two of the guys who started in the opening series aren't even on the roster anymore, Bryce Wilson being one of them. Julio Teheran will not be a part of the NLDS roster. Joe Patrick explains how Brian Snitker had to make a very, very tough call with one of the longest tenured members of the team.
It's a kind of a shame that someone like him isn't going to be able to contribute. And who knows, maybe he could get a chance down the line if something happens. You know, these rosters are obviously flexible between series, but it's got to be disappointing for someone like him to not be able to contribute in the division series. And I know Brian Snitker said that it was one of the hardest decisions he's ever had to make in the sport of baseball, which is saying something for him. He's been around in the Braves organization for decades as a player and a coach. And, you know, it's a bummer for him, but you understand why, right? Because he's not one of the guys who you would throw to start. And he's not really a guy that you can just go, okay, well, he's not going to be a starter, but he can be a long reliever for us, because that's not really the kind of profile that you want in a long reliever. Julio Teheran's a guy who's not going to throw a ton of strikes. He's going to, you know, pick around the strike zone. And when you're looking at a reliever, you probably need someone who can come into a game and throw strikes right away.
That is Joe Patrick from yesterday's program. This was something I brought up when we were talking with Tony Gwynn Jr., which, by the way, fantastic interview with him. Loved having him on and getting his perspective on everything with regards to the Major League Baseball playoffs. We'll repurpose some of that for you a little bit later on in the show if you're listening. I just didn't happen to like how Snitker just remained a prisoner to the splits when it comes to home and road. I mean, it's not as if that ballpark lends itself to the kind of stuff that the old ballpark did, or even the one before, the launching pad. It's not like SunTrust Park is that much of a hitter's ballpark that it makes Mike Soroka vulnerable. But the home road splits went into the decision to start him in Game 3. Joe Patrick agrees with me. I think you had to find a way to get him to pitch twice in that series, but for the Braves, at least on the surface, doesn't look like he will if it goes the distance.
I think the bigger deal is why starting Soroka in Game 3, that means that's going to be the only time you're going to see him pitch, most right. likely. He's definitely not going to start any other game in the series. That would disqualify him from that. So I think that's the reason. It seems weird to say, okay, your best pitcher all season is only going to have one chance to start in this series. It doesn't make a ton of sense, but, you know, they're going to play up those splits, and they're legitimate splits. I mean, it's really his only full season in the major leagues, and it's proven to be quite stark, the difference. And especially when you look at the positive side of it, the fact that he's has a 1.55 ERA on the road this season. I mean, that's a big advantage. And if things go wrong, that's going to be something that gets criticized by the media.
And, of course, Joe Patrick from yesterday's program, the ERA differential is about 3 runs. So, again, it's not like this is a marginal separation when it comes to the ERA home and road, but as Joe said, it is stark when it comes to that contrast. This St. Louis team, as Brian Stoll told us on Tuesday, is a much faster team than the ones that we've seen that are more power constructed from St. Louis in the past in the postseason. I asked Joe what scares him about St. Louis. He says it's more about their arms instead of the young.
He is as dominant right now as any pitcher in baseball. And with him that way, you kind of can't rely on winning that game. I mean, obviously you're going to try to win it, but you can't necessarily kind of count on that despite how good Mike Foltynewicz has been. So that puts a lot of pressure on Dallas Keuchel in Game 1 to really give you a chance. He really puts the pressure on the entire team, I think, to go out there and make sure you win that game so that you don't all of a sudden find yourself into an 0-2 hole. And then I think the other thing that kind of gives the Braves some fits as far as the matchup is concerned is just how right-handed heavy the Cardinals lineup is. And I think that, you know, when you look at, you know, a couple of the Braves left-handed pitchers in terms of Dallas Keuchel, who's going to pitch Game 1, and potentially Max Fried, who could pitch Game 4, both those guys, left-handed pitchers who have big split differences between right-handed and left-handed batters. So I think that, you know, that's going to be something that the Braves are going to have to deal with. I think they honestly, in terms of how well the pitcher is stacked up, I think almost like the Dodgers series, if that were to come to fruition, I think it almost sets up better for the Braves just in terms of the way the splits line up. I think that it gives the Braves a little bit of difficulty, the fact that the Cardinals are so right-handed heavy in the lineup.
Joe Patrick joining us here on ESPN Upstate yesterday. If there is a vulnerability for either team, it is their bullpen. And the reason that the Cardinals are vulnerable is because the Braves offensively have feasted on bullpens. They've done remarkable work in the seventh inning or later. And while Atlanta's bullpen has stabilized, I asked Joe, how short will the leashes be when it comes to this Braves bullpen that has, again, been largely reconstructed at the trade deadline?
Not only did they have to find their feet in Atlanta and gel here, but it affected some of the other pitchers as well. Guys like Sean Newcomb and Luke Jackson were used to pitching in certain situations, and the addition of those guys kind of disrupted them as well, and it threw them off, and they had to find their footing, and they all kind of had to come together, but they have done that. I mean, it has been one of the stronger groups in the National League since they've kind of come together around what was like about August 14th or 15th or so. They've been really, really good. So I expect the bullpen to do well. And I think honestly, that's an area where the Braves are going to excel in this series. I think if they're to win the series, they're going to have to take advantage the way they've been taking advantage of teams all season long, which is in these late innings. The bullpen can hold other teams at bay. and the Braves have been the best team in all of baseball in the seventh inning or later, scoring 308 runs and hitting 94 home runs in those innings. So I think that when you look at the damage the Braves have done against other bullpens, that's really an area where they feel like they can be strong. And if they can just get decent starting pitching to keep them in these games, especially you look at like game two against Jack Flaherty, if they can just work Jack Flaherty, get him out of the game earlier as soon as possible, they give themselves a much, much, much greater chance of winning those games.
Again, appreciate Joe Patrick joining us yesterday, and we'll try to keep tabs on the Braves with him throughout the rest of the postseason as long as the Braves are in it. Again, they are doing the introductions right now at SunTrust Park. We'll keep you apprised on that contest as we go throughout the afternoon with the first pitch, again, just after 5 o'clock. 844-GSP, ESPN, the phone number, 71307. Mark the tape, Diesel. I say Braves, they're not going to sweep it. I don't think they're going to sweep it, but I think the Braves can win it in 4 or 5. You have to count on St. Louis winning at least one in their building. And if they get one in the Braves building, then the Braves probably going to have to take it to the distance. I mentioned earlier in the show something of a personal nature happened to somebody in my life earlier this morning or later last evening, I should say. Something I want to bring to the table for you just because this is a very, very close person to me. And I'm thrilled to death for him and his family. Comes your way next on ESPN Upstate. So I talk a lot about how, you know, as people, you and I, radio professionals, Diesel, things don't usually happen on the type of timeline that we would like to have them happen. You know, I know a lot of people who were in my circle of friends who weren't in our business, who got married, had kids way before I even thought about even doing any of those things. And somebody who I tried to go through this profession with, he ended up leaving it for much different past years, but also kind of went through the same type of deal when it comes to whether or not you go on the same kind of path that your friends do, doing these things earlier in life, a little bit more of a late bloomer, kind of like us. My best friend from college is a father today. Liliana Amalia Kathleen Ruiz was born at 8:18 Pacific Standard Time in beautiful Seattle. Mom and baby are fantastic. 7 pounds, 6 ounces, 21 inches. I'm going to tell you, I didn't sleep a wink last night. And no, it wasn't because of the Clemson Twitter oddy. It was because I was waiting and waiting and waiting for either the phone call or the text to come, and ended up falling asleep on top of my phone and finally getting a text from Roberto this morning getting the great news that he and Colleen are going to be mother and father to a fantastically beautiful baby girl. So excited for them. Couldn't think of two people more suited to be parents. And I can't wait to go up to Seattle and see them. Very, very good friends of mine. Again, I just wanted to share that with you. It was part of the reason why I came in here so happy today and so angry that I had to start the show off on a bad note, because I had to talk about you people who were trying to talk to me while I was trying to get some good news. But guess what? I ain't going to let you ruin this amazing blessing in my life and in these people's lives. Congratulations, Roberto and Colleen, on Liliana Amalia Kathleen Ruiz. I think we're probably going to call her Lily just because that's the way it works. We're going to talk about smoking weed next. That's a hell of a transition, isn't it? And about a former NFL player who admitted to doing so before every game. Oh,
oh, oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.